ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 35, Text number 24, 25, and 26, and that will be the end of the chapter. The gopis sing of Krishna. So, I am going to read this first two verses alone, and then we can read the third one together. Mada vigurnita lochana ishat manada swasuhidam vanamali badara pandu vadano mridugandam mandayam kanaka kundala lakshmya jadupatir dviradaraja viharu Jamini patir ivaisha dinante mudita vatra. Mudita vatra upayati duramtam mochayam vraja gavam dinatapam. Please repeat. Mada by intoxication. Digurnita rolling. Lochanaha, his eyes. Ishat, slightly. Manadaha, showing honor. Swasruhridam, to his well-wishing friends. Vanamali, wearing a garland of flowers. Wearing a garland of forest flowers. Badara, like a badara fruit. Pandu, whitish. Vadanaha, his face. Mridu, soft. Gandam, his cheeks. Mandayam, ornamenting. Kanaka, golden. Kundala, of his earrings. Lakshmiya, with the beauty. Yadupati, the lord of the Yadu dynasty. Dviradaraja, like a kingly elephant. Viharaha, his sporting. Jaminipati, the lord of the night, the moon. Eva, light. Isha, he. Dina Ante, at the end of the day. Mudita, joyful. Vaktra, his face. Upayati, is coming. Duramtam, insurmountable. Mochayan, driving away. Vraja, of Vraja. Gavam, of the cows, or of those who are to be shown mercy. Dina, of the daytime. Tapam, the painful heat. As Krishna respectfully greets his well-wishing friends, his eyes roll slightly as if from intoxication. He wears a flower garland, and the beauty of his soft cheeks is accentuated by the brilliance of his golden earrings and the whiteness of his face, which has the color of a badara berry. Does anybody have seen a badara berry?
I don't know.
Anyone from India know the badara berry? With his cheerful face resembling the moon, lord of the night, The Lord of the Yadus moves with the grace of a regal elephant. Thus he returns in the evening, delivering the cows of Raja from the heat of the day. Please repeat. As Krishna respectfully greets his well-wishing friends, his eyes roll slightly as if from intoxication. He wears a flower garland, and the beauty of his soft cheeks is accentuated by the brilliance of his golden earrings and the whiteness of his face, which has the color of Badara berry. With his cheerful face resembling the moon, Lord of the night, the Lord of the Yadus moves with the grace of a regal elephant. Thus he returns in the evening, delivering the cows of Raja from the heat of the day. That's a nice verse, a nice scene to imagine. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The word Gavam is constructed from the Sanskrit word go, which means cow or senses. Thus Sri Krishna, by coming back to the village of Raja, relieved the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the distress their eyes and other senses felt during the day because of being separated from direct contact with him. Now please repeat. Sri Shuka Vacha Evam Vrajastriyo Rajam Krishna Lila Nugayati Remiri Hashutachitas Tamanashka Mahodaya Sri Shuka Uvacha Evam Vrajastriyo Rajam Krishna Lila Nugayati Re Miri Hashutachitas Tamanashka Mahodaya Sri Shuka Uvacha Evam Vrajastriyo Rajam Krishna Lila Nugayati Re Miri Hashutachita Tamanashka Mahodaya. Evam Vrajastriyo Rajam Krishna Lila Nugayati Remire Rasutachitas Tamanashka Mahodaya. Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Vrajastriyo Rajam Krishna Lila Nugayati Remire Hasutachitas Tamanashka Mahodaya. Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Vrajastriyo Chitas Tamanashka Mahodaya. Matajis Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Vrajastriyo Rajam Krishna Lila Nugayati Remire Hasutachitas Tamanashka Mahodaya. Shri Shuka Uvacha Shukadeva Goswami said, Evam, thus, Vraja Istriyaha, the women of Raja, Rajan, O King, Krishna Leela, about the pastimes of Krishna, Anugayati, continuously chanting, Remiri, they enjoyed, Ahasu, during the days, Tachitaha, their hearts absorbed in him. Tadmanashkaha, their minds absorbed in him. Maha, great. Udayaha, experiencing a festivity. Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, thus during the daytime the women of Vrindavan took pleasure in continuously singing about the pastimes of Krishna. And those ladies' minds and hearts absorbed in him were filled with great festivity. Please repeat. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, thus during the daytime the women of Vrindavan took pleasure in continuously singing about the pastimes of Krishna. And those ladies' minds and hearts absorbed in him were filled with great festivity. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. This verse definitely confirms that the so-called pain of the heartbroken gopis is actually great spiritual bliss. So, in this world, the heartbroken is very painful. You know? But this is, it says here, with great festivity at the end of the verse. So it's great spiritual bliss. On the material platform, pain is pain, period. But on the spiritual platform, so-called pain is simply a different variety of a spiritual ecstasy. In the Western countries, people take pleasure in mixing different flavors of ice cream to produce wonderful combinations of flavor. I'm sure you never eat ice cream. Similarly, on the spiritual platform, Sri Krishna and his devotees expertly mix the flavors of his spiritual bliss, and thus every day was a treat for the gopis. Thus ends the purpose of the humble servant of His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 35th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled, The Gopis Sing of Krishna as He Wanders in the Forest. It's a really nice example. We mix the ice cream, and it's a big festivity. Krishna is mixing all kinds of spiritual flavors. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshunum Militan Janatas Mai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadishatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, the gopis, they sing the glories of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna. At the beginning of this chapter, it's explained in one purport that Jiva Goswami says that this chapter is made of the gopis' talks in different situations, in different groups of gopis, about the pastimes of Krishna. During the night, they would dance with Krishna. How many gopis? 3 billion gopis. That must be something, you know, to watch. Of course, we're not qualified to watch. But We see people, they go to, Prabhupada said that they have this ballroom dance that they're trying to imitate Krishna's rasa dance, the ballroom dance. They go in a big ballroom, they all dance together, men and women dancing together. So they're just trying to imitate Krishna's rasa dance, but they cannot imitate, you know, 3 billion gopis dancing with Krishna. And during the day, Krishna went to take care of the cows with his coward boys. You know, his friends. And all the gopis were just talking about Krishna's pastimes. And this consciousness of this chapter is actually Krishna consciousness. This is what Krishna consciousness is. That you are constantly meditating in Krishna. Your consciousness is always focused in Krishna. Focused on Krishna. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a sequence of verses that actually represent this chapter. And I would like to discuss those verses with you. It starts with chapter 10, text 8. And the following three verses plus verse 8, Prabhupada mentions that they are the most important verses of the Bhagavad Gita. So the first one is Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matak Sarvam Pravartati Iti Matva Bhajantimam Buddha Bhava Samambitaha. That Krishna tells Arjuna, Krishna is telling Arjuna that Arjuna, everything, Aham Sarvasya means everything, Prabhavo emanates, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matak Sarvam Pravartati, emanates from me. Now, everything is coming from me. Both is spiritual and material is coming from me. Aham sarvasya prabhu matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samambitaha. Those who are intelligent, Buddha, that have this intelligence to understand this, that everything is coming from me. Now, they worship me with all devotion. Now, then we can conclude that those who are not worshipping Krishna in some form with all devotion, definitely they cannot be classified as, you know, the most intelligent. In this world, they have different understandings of intelligence. You know? And they praise people for their intelligence. But we have a different criteria. The person who is intelligent, he is worshipping the Supreme Lord. Because all other intelligence in this world is finite, is temporary. The only intelligence that survives is the intelligence that helps us go back home, back to God. So then the next verse, Krishna tells Arjuna on this same chapter, then text 9, Machita Madgata Prana, Machita, that the thoughts of my devotees, they dwell in me. So the devotees of Krishna, they're always thinking of him. Is it possible to get a little water? So the thoughts of my devotees, they dwell in me, machita. Madgata prana. Prana, their lives. Now the life of my devotees is also belongs to me. No. Machita madgata prana. Their thoughts, their lives, everything is around me. Machita madgata prana. Buddhayanta parashpanam. They are preaching to each other about me. Not like we preach to each other. We talk to devotees, you know, we remind them of Krishna, and we preach to the others that are, you know, so-called non-devotees, but they also all part of Krishna, and we preach to them. Buddhayanta parashparam, katayanta shamanicham. They are always katha, and we say Krishna katha, katayanta shamanicham. They are always eternally talking about me. So isn't this what the gopis are doing here? No. At night they dance with Krishna. During the day, they talk about Krishna. I don't know, it doesn't mention him when they sleep. I guess you don't get tired when you're having fun, no? So, I guess they have so much fun, they never get tired. So that's what they do, no? Katayanta Ashyamanicham. They're always talking about Krishna, forever. There's no end at one time, gee. Enough is enough. Can you talk about something else? Now, they're forever talking about Krishna. Katayantastam chamanicham tushyanti cha ramanti cha. And they are experiencing that festivity that says here, you know, with great festivity, great happiness, great bliss, tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So when the devotees are like this, they feel great bliss. Have you been to some of those classes like Jayapataka Swami talking about Lord Gauranga? I was translating one of those classes once in Mayapur, 1990. I still don't forget that. And he was really into it. The class was outside. You know, there was a panda and everybody sitting on the grass. And he was talking, he was saying, and Lord Chaitanya, he was here in Mayapur, and he was walking throughout the land, and he was walking right here. You know, Jayapataka Swami. And it got me paralyzed. I could not translate. And I was translated. I got like paralyzed. And I said, wow, it's looking like he's walking with Lord Chaitanya. You know? It was so ecstatic. You know? I was like almost crying just listening to him. You know? So this Krishna Katha gives a devotee joy, gives pleasure. You know? That's why Shukadeva Goswami, the speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Parikshit Maharaj, they were talking for 7 days to each other on this Krishna Katha. Shukadeva Goswami was speaking, Parikshit Maharaj was listening and asking questions, and the talk was going on for 7 days. And Parikshit Maharaj did not want to sleep or eat or drink. He was off. He wanted some water. He said, no, I don't want water. Wow, I cannot speak for 10 minutes without water. You see, the level of these individuals, they are completely a different level. So then on the next verse of Bhagavad Gita, then would be 10:10. Because this is it's very closely related to this, no? Which is, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogamtam janamam upayantite. Then Krishna tells Arjuna, so Krishna is talking to Arjuna. He says, Tesham satata yuktanam. Now, for those who are constantly devoted to me, Tesham satata yuktanam, bhajatam pritipurvakam. Pritipurvakam means that in loving mood. Now, bhajatam, they are worshipping me in loving mood, like the devotees come to the temple. Now, so many of you are so faithful, they come every day, they worship the deities every day, and sometimes it's very cold, and sometimes it's very hot. I remember many years ago, I saw this was in the 70s or 80s, there was a cartoon in a major U.S. newspaper, and the devotees were on Harinam, and there was a snowstorm, and a couple of them were going on the front of the Harinam, shoveling the snow, and the others coming in the back, chanting. So, you know, that means that nothing can stop this Hare Krishna. No snow, no heat, nothing. Now, they will continue their chanting in any circumstance. So, this is now Satatam, Tesham Evanukam Partam. For those who are so dedicated like this, Tesham Evanukam Partam, Aham Agana Jantamaha, Nashayami Atma Bhavasto, Gyana Jitena Bhashvataha. That Aham Agana Jantamaha. When there is darkness in the heart, no. Agana means, Gyana means knowledge. Agana means lack of knowledge. And tamaha, tamas, dark. You see, our hearts before we met Prabhupada or his representatives or his books was full of darkness. If you go to a cave and the cave is completely dark and then suddenly you get one of those torches, and you light on the torch, and then there's that big light. And then dispels the darkness. And you will start seeing things that you could not see before. For many years, I joined the movement when I was 18, and nobody ever told me that eating meat is bad. I never heard of anybody. My mother had told me that illicit sex Jesus Christ doesn't like. She told me, I remember. And that got stuck in my head. You know. But nobody told me about me. But when the devotees gave me the book and I read, that day I became a vegetarian. So that torch, that light inside that cave, dark cave, it showed me something I couldn't see before. It was not possible to see before. But that light came in my heart, and I could say, this is wrong. So this is Jnana Dipena. Nashayami Atma Bhava Shtu. I dispel. Nashayami means I dispel. Aham Agyana Janta Maha. The darkness and the ignorance. Nashayami Atma Bhava Shtu. Inside the heart. There's darkness. I dispel. Nashayami Atma Bhava Shtu. Jnana Dipena Bhashvataha. With the glowing, Bhashvata, glowing, Jnana Dipena, the light, the flame, this flame of knowledge, Jnana Dipena, I dispel their ignorance and darkness. So, that's so important, the association of Vaishnavas in different ways. Now, through hearing, through chanting. I was listening yesterday, the class, such a wonderful class by Pran Govinda Prabhu. I've been in this movement for almost 40 years, and yesterday alone, I learned more about Lord Shiva than in the past 40 years. I didn't know anything about Lord Shiva. But yesterday, I learned so much. And with the Chutananda Prabhu singing, that Narada Muni, that was so sweet. That was so beautiful. Because like today, people listen to Madhava singing and Gauravani. No, I grew up in Krishna consciousness, listening to a Chutananda singing. And Narada Muni was one of them. Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina. So beautiful singing. And he was singing yesterday. He did so well. And I felt so much joy. So just being like this with the devotees. Now, this Jnana Dipena Bhashvataha, this darkness, this Ajnana, the glowing flame of knowledge, it starts revealing in our heart things that we can't see. And then on the next verse, now we are on verse 10, 11. Tisham eva nukam partam. Aham agen. Tisham eva nukam partam. No, I mixed them because Tisham satatyari yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam tadani buddhi yogantam. I mixed. Let me go back to this verse because I combined both half of it, one and half of the other. So the previous verses, Teshan Satatayuktanam, for those who are always devoted, Bhajatam Pritipurvakam, that are always worshipping me with devotion, Dadami Buddhi Yogandam, I give to them this buddhi, this intelligence. Jena Mam Upayantite, Upa, like we have in English, up. Krishna said, Upayanti, that will take them up to me. Jena Mam means to me, Upayamti, they will come up to me. So I give them that intelligence. So if we want to have that intelligence to go up to Krishna, back to Krishna, not to go down to Maya. Like this morning, who was reading this morning? Kaliapani was reading. Prabhupada explaining. How Maya is so powerful. And Prabhupada quoted that verse. It wasn't this verse. It was a different verse. What was the verse that says that it's very difficult to overcome Maya? Daidi Hyesha Gunamai, Mama Maya Durachaya. Mama Maya Durachaya. Dura, that's like in Spanish and Portuguese, they have the word duro, that means hard. Now, mama maya durachaya, that's very hard to conquer this maya. Daivi hiyesha guna maya, mama maya durachaya. And Krishna says, mama maya, that's my maya, that's why it's so hard. It's not just any maya, it's Krishna's maya, very powerful. It's like if you go to somebody's house and you knock on the door, and suddenly comes one of those huge dogs. Do you call San Bernardo here? I don't know if you call San Bernardo. They're very, very big dogs. So, and the dog starts barking at you. Now you can't get into terms with the dog. No, you are not going to win this one. But if the owner comes and says, "Bobby, sit down," immediately. So this Mama Maya Duracharya is like this, so powerful. And if we want to get into some agreement with Maya, it's not possible. Maya is going to eat us for breakfast. Not possible. But when Krishna comes and says, "Maya, this is my bhakti, leave it alone." No problem. Quiet, Maya is quiet. Immediately. So, Daivi hiya shaguna mayi, mama maya durachaya, mami vajaprapadyante mayamitam tanantide. Now, if we surrender to Krishna, then he will, we cannot control Maya, only Krishna can control Maya. And Prabhupada, in one letter, he says, because the devotee was telling him that it's so hard, you know, it's easy in words, you know. And this process is so difficult. Even Arjuna told Krishna, "Krishna, this process of controlling the mind, it's easier if I just stop the wind controlling my mind." So it's difficult. And Prabhupada said, yes, Maya is very powerful. But if you keep chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna will win and Maya will not win. So we have to keep chanting. So Krishna will win again. Maya will not win. It's not possible. But we have to keep in the process, keep going. So now on the next verse of the... This verses, they show the consciousness of the gopis, that they are always there, constantly singing for Krishna, constantly dedicate their lives to Krishna in all circumstances. Even when it was so difficult, we read in previous chapters how when Krishna was playing his flute, and the gopis said, "Well, we got to go," you know. Just a very mundane comparison that some devotees, they told me, "Oh, there's the World Cup going on in Brazil. We got to go. We got to go. Are you going? We got to go." You know? So they feel that urge that we got to go. You know? But here is the transcendental urge. They heard Krishna's flute. Krishna playing his flute. They said, "We got to go. It's dark at night." Now, even today, a decent woman is not going to go in the dark of the night to the forest. And imagine in that conservative society, some of their husbands and brothers and parents were at the door with the sticks trying to stop them. "You can't go in the forest. I'm going to beat you up." But nothing could stop them. They would run away because Krishna's flute was so attractive. So nothing could stop their devotional service. So on the next verse, 11, verse 11, "Tesham eva nukam partam aham agena jantamaha nashayam yatma bhavasto gyana dipena bhashata." Gyana dipena bhashata. With the glowing flame of knowledge, glowing flame of knowledge. "Aham agena jantamaha." I dispel from the heart. From the hearts of who? Teshameva nukam partam. Those who are constantly dedicated to me. I dispel all the illusion, all the confusion. I don't know if you had this experience, but I had and I want to share with you. One day in New York, I had a very depressing day. Very frustrating day. So I went to the temple. I just sat down and I was looking to the feet of the deities, and I was chanting. I didn't want to hear anything else. I didn't want to talk to anybody else. And when I finished chanting, I was very happy. All the frustration, all the illusion was gone. No more problems. Just chanting. And Prabhupada said, "If you have problems, you just chant aloud. Chant loudly. No, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There is no problem that will not go away. Because all problems are related to the identification of the soul with the body." And this Maha Mantra, Golokera Primadama Harinama Sankirtan, comes from Goloka, transcendental. So it takes us up to this spiritual world. And then after Krishna tells Arjuna these four verses, then Arjuna, he decides that I need to say something. And then he says, no, Arjuna Uvacha, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramambaram. So this is verse number 12. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramambaram, Purusham, Shashvatam, Divyam, Adidevam, Majambhidam. He tells Krishna that, Krishna, you are the supreme truth, the supreme abode, the unborn, the uncontaminated. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavam, Purusham, the supreme being, Purusham, Shashvatam, Divyam, the supreme truth. Adidevam, Ajam, Vibhum. You are unborn. You are the original being. Adidevam, the God of goddess. Prabhupada translates on the verse. Supreme above all. Mata parataram nanyat kinti dasti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam pratam sutre maniganaiva. Now in another verse in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the same thing. Mata parataram nanyat. There is no truth, Arjuna, that's higher than me, that is superior to me. Mata parataram nanyat kinti dasti dhananjaya o dhananjaya mai sarvam idam pratam. Like the pearls are hanging on a thread. Now there's a thread with pearls. And if you take that thread out, what happens? The pearls will go all over the floor. But Krishna says, I'm sustaining everything. Like pearls are being sustained on a thread. So I'm sustaining the whole creation. And now Arjuna is telling Krishna, so you are the God of gods, you are the supreme. And then Prabhupada explains on this verse 12, on the purport, that on the next verse section, that no, Krishna is Arjuna's friend. Like, and if you are my friend, I can tell, oh, he's so great, he's so intelligent, he is so this and so that. He's my friend, so I can now kind of pump it, say something nice. So to avoid people thinking like this, so in the next verse, which is verse 13, Arjuna says, Ahushtvam Rishaya Sarve. That's not my opinion. All the sages, Rishaya Sarve, all the sages, they agree with this. And not only he says that all the sages agree, he starts naming the sages. Ahustam Rishaya Sarve, Devarshi Narada. No, Devarshi Narada, the great Narada Muni that Achyutananda is singing after. Narada Muni, Bhajaya Vina, Radhikaramanana. I got that song in my mind. I woke up this morning singing the song. Whatever, it's so beautiful. Yeah, I woke up this morning singing. So nice. So, now, Devarshi Narada Stata Asita. The sage, Devarshi Narada Asita. Asita Devala Vyasa. Devala Vyasa. Swayan Chaiva Bravishmi. All the sages, they agree. And now, Krishna, Swayan Chaiva Bravishmi. You are telling me this directly. So, all the sages are telling this. And now, Krishna, you are telling me here, face to face, in the middle of this battlefield of Kurukshetra, on this chariot with the Hanuman flag, you are telling me this truth. And after he does this, he says this, on the next verse, verse 14, he concludes, Sarvam etad vidam mani. Forgot. Sarvam etad vidam mani. Javad. Yandam. Yam vam vadashi keshava nahite bhagavan vyatin vidur devana danava. Correct? So, sarvam etad ritam manir. Yam vam vadashi keshava. O keshava. Prabhupada translates on the verse as Krishna, but here on the sentence as keshava. O keshava. No. Sarvam etad ritam manir. Everything. Yambam Vadashi Keshava. Vadashi, everything that you say, I accept as true. Yambam Vadashi Keshava. Sarvam Eta, Sarvam. Everything you're telling me, that's it. I accept as true. Because remember in the previous chapters, there was some going back and forth. Now, Krishna is saying one thing, and Krishna said, well, you know, but if I fight on this war and I kill all these husbands, the wives who have no husband, and then they are going to be, you know, become prostitutes in the hand of other men. You know, he gave actually some very strong arguments. And any person in this world that is a moralist would say, yes, he is right, isn't it? Any person who hears those arguments, he would call it, of course. This man is a very religious man, he's right. And he is right. But that wasn't transcendental. Writing is not always transcendental. Then Krishna came with the transcendental vision. No? And on the transcendental vision, Krishna told him, Sri Bhagavan Muvacha Ashutyamam Vashutya Swam Pragavadam Shabasha Segata Sumagata Sunsya Nanu Shutyanti Pandita. Arjuna, you are showing off as a pandita. That's very nice. But panditas don't act like this. Because panditas, they do not lament either for people that are alive or dead. So Arjun, then you are not pandit, you are a fool. But still there were some arguments going on. But now we're on the 10th chapter. And now after everything that was said and done, Arjuna said, Sarvamita Vitanmani, that's it. Now I accept everything you said, it's true. This is a very nice verse. So here the gopis, they were already in this platform. Yeah. Everything that Krishna said was true. Going with Krishna to the forest is true. Waiting for Krishna to come back with the cowherd boys and the cows, this is true. And talking about Krishna day and night, this is wonderful. Everything is accepted. It's interesting because there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Bahushaka hyanantascha vishayo buddhayo vyavashainam. How is the beginning of that verse? What is that? Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kunu nandana. Yeah. You see, on this verse it says, ekeha kunu nandana. Ukura nandana. Those who are resolute, their intelligence is pointed. It's one goal. You know, there's that nice example in the Mahabharata that Dronacharya, he wanted to test all his students. So he called one by one. No, he called Yudhisthira. So there was a bird on the tree, up there. And he called and said, do you see that bird? Yes. Do you see the branch? Yes. Do you see the tree? Yes. Confirmed. And then he calls the next student. Do you see the bird? Yes. Do you see the branches? Yes. Do you see the sky? Yes. Next one and next one. And all of them saw many things. Then he calls Arjuna. Do you see the bird? Yes. Do you see the branches? No. Do you see the tree? No. Do you see the sky? No. He was completely focused. He could only see the bird. So this is ekeha kunu nandana. It's a pointed focus that you can't see anything else. So, vyavasayatmika buddhi, those who have this buddhi, this intelligence that is so determined, that they are pointed in one direction. Ekeha kunu nandana. Bahushaka hyanantascha. Others, bahushaka, they have thousands of goals. Actually, Bahushaka, he Anantascha, Krishna said, not only they have thousands of goals, Anantascha, it's actually unlimited goals. Bahushaka, he Anantascha. Buddhayo Vyavashayinam. No, they're really not intelligent. And Prabhupada comments on this verse. No, this is actual intelligence. So now one may think, well, the gopis are talking about all kinds of things here. They talk about the aroma of the tulasi, in this chapter, they talk about the aroma of the tulasi manjaris. They talk about the bees. They talk about the flowers in the forest. They talk about the moon. They talk about so many things. So their mind is all over the place. Bahushaka hyanantascha. It's unlimited things to talk about. So what is the difference? It's like the Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. It's all in variety, but at the same time it's one. Because the goal is only one. The goal is Krishna. All that variety is surrounding Krishna, who is the center of all of them. And now, Arjuna tells Krishna that I accept all this is true. Vidur devana na nahite bhagyavam bhagavam vyaktin vidur devana danavaha. Neither the demigods nor the demons can understand your personality. And Prabhupada says in the purport, and what hope is there for the scholars if neither the demigods nor the demons can understand? Or the scientists, the scholars, what hope is there for them to understand? So this full surrender of the gopis is explained in this verse of the Bhagavad Gita. How for those that completely surrender and dedicate their lives, then all darkness goes away. All ignorance goes away. And that lamp of knowledge comes from the surrender. Now even if you are not a scholar, that's not required. There's so many examples. Not like that example, the person came to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and said, I want to learn this science. This Vedic science. He said, oh, so you go to so-and-so, my disciple, he's going to teach you. So he was asking around the temple and he found a disciple. And the disciple was there in the garden, planting flowers and cleaning the garden. Well, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told me to come to you because you can tell me the science. He said, maybe there's some misunderstanding because I don't even know Bhagavad Gita. I don't know anything. No, he told me to come to you. So he went back to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. The man went back. Said, no, he said he doesn't know anything. No, you go there and ask him, you need to learn the science. He said, well, the only thing I know is to grow the flowers and offer to the deities. So he went back to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and said, but he said the only thing he knows is to grow flowers and offer to the deities. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, so did you understand the science? No. And the other one that was reading Bhagavad Gita in South India, and was crying, reading the Bhagavad Gita, and everybody was laughing because they knew that he was illiterate. He didn't know how to read. But Lord Chaitanya wasn't laughing. Lord Chaitanya, when saw, actually praised him. Oh, you were a great devotee. No. So these gopis, there's no mention that the gopis were great scholars. Actually, they were simple village girls. But they had this vyavasayatmika buddhi, this one-pointed devotion to Krishna. And nothing could change their mind. There's a really nice story, and I'm going to end the class. When Giriraj Maharaj joined in Boston, and then he went to India, and he was serving Prabhupada in Mumbai. But his father was a big lawyer in Chicago. And his father and his mother were not happy that their son from a good family that was going to a good university suddenly gave up the whole thing to be wearing these skirts and moving to India and serving a Swami from India. They said, we're going to do something. So they traveled to Mumbai, father, mother, and sister. And now they're there, sitting with Prabhupada, talking with Prabhupada. And Giriraj Swami was there, and Srinathaji was there. Also, he wasn't initiated at the time. And I heard this directly from Srinathaji. And I heard also on the tape from Giriraj Swami. So Giriraj Swami's father said, Prabhupada! And Giriraj Swami comes to his ear and says, it's not Prabhupada, it's Prabhupada. We came here to take our son back with us. Very American style. We came here in no defeat, no surrender. We're taking him back. And Prabhupada said, Giriraj, would you like to go back? Now, Prabhupada didn't say, no, you're not taking him back. He's mine. No. Said, Giriraj, would you like to go back? And this is the most beautiful thing I ever heard, is what he said. He said, Prabhupada, there's no power in this world that can separate me from you. Oh, what a beautiful thing to say. No? There's no power in this world that can separate me from you. And Prabhupada said, no, but I think you should go with him. Prabhupada is so special. No, they're going on vacation. At least you should go on vacation with them. So they were going, I believe, to Singapore. And now Giriraj is a brahmachari. And actually he told us here at your house that he said that he didn't like to go outside the temple, actually. He only liked to stay inside the temple. Until one day he took a rickshaw because he didn't like to see all the signs in India. He thought his mind would be distracted. And all Prabhupada said, no, you go on vacation with your parents. He said, okay, Prabhupada. So he went on vacation with them. He came back. Then they stayed at the house of Srinathaji's parents. And they got to know the upscale environment of Mumbai. And then they were very happy with Prabhupada. So happy that if you go to the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, there is the Titan Eye Clinic that was actually donated by Giriraj Swami's mother. Was her donation, the Titan Eye Clinic, because her family name is Titan. And he said that the first thing that made him so impressed with Prabhupada is that Titan is a mountain. And they didn't know anybody else that had the name Titan. For them, they were the only family in the world that had the name Titan, it's the name of a mountain. And when he was initiated, Prabhupada gave him the name of a mountain. He said, this Prabhupada is really special. How did he know that I was so proud of my name and I didn't want to lose that? Yeah. So, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Do you have any questions? Have a few minutes?
In the translation it mentions that it mentions the whiteness of Krishna's face. But Krishna is black. So what does that mean?
I had the same question in my mind when I read it. Krishna is black, he's bluish.
I remember a long time back with that. When we purify in the morning, we say, Sabhajjam Narasati. We say, Pundarikaksham. And if you look at the word Pundarikaksham means that white form. So in the Balladeva Vidyasagara Thakur writes, means the purity form. Then there is a pastimes of Srila Prabhupada also gave a little hint in Nectar of Devotion that Nanda Baba, every day he walks with his son. You know, he holds Nanda Baba's finger and he walks. And Nanda Baba, at that time, he keeps on praying to Narayan, please let me hear him all the time. Because when Krishna speaks, it attracts the heart of Nanda Maharaj so much. He just wants his son to keep on talking eternally, forever. Because it is so pure.
Like the gopis that curse Brahma because they blink their eyes.
Yes.
They want to blink their
eyes. So pure purity, when it takes the form, is called white. It's not that white becomes purity. Krishna is the most pure, pavitram, as you say. So the purity takes the form, is that the white color. That's a Balladeva Vidyasagara.
And also the only thing I thought also is that in the temples, we also have whitish Krishna. No, Krishna is not always black.
No, there is a verse actually, it says,
the absurd, first line, Lingam Tanmaya Avesha. When Krishna is so absorbed on Srimati Radharani's in sulkiness that he transformed his blackish, bluish color into whitish. That's why there's so many deity of white Krishna. That's the originum. origin.
Now, you think Michael Jackson could change color, so what to speak of Krishna? Krishna can change to any color, no? So he can change to any color he wants. You know? Any other questions?
You know, sometimes you see the American girl, they dye. So I was thinking, like, origin of all the color of hair has to come from somewhere.
Do you see also in the Bhagavatam, there is a verse on the 10th canto, I believe, that Narada Muni's hair is blonde. Blonde hair. Yeah. It says that.
In Chaitanya Chaitanya, the Shemam Eva Param Rupa, Puri Madhupuri Bara. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved this. When Raghupati Upadhyay finished the talking, Mahaprabhu immediately embraced him because he just hit
who
the.
Who was that?
Raghupati Upadhyay is a scholar, came to Vallabhata's house. Yes. And Mahaprabhu embraced. Why? Because the Shemam Eva Param Rupam. So Jiva Goswami Pad commented on that Krishna's original nature is so much absorbed in Radharani's amorous pastime that his form eternally blue is a condensed form of love. That's why Krishna is blue. It's not just a whimsical, because every color has an original nature. What causes the color to manifest? Like if somebody is angry, you know, eyes become red or something like that. So original nature of Krishna is so condensed form of amorous pastime that he always drunk, looks like, just like you read today, is drunk and bluish, condensed form. Oh, there's the verse, actually. Shema Sringara Rati, Srila Jiva Goswami Pad quote this. Shema, the bluish color, Sringara Rati, because his deep emotional attachment.
Beautiful Shema.
Yes.
Anything else? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.